So real quick, Autumn, that song was written after the shooting last week, wasn't it?
Of the chaos in the world began, but she released it after the shooting. So it was something that was in her heart that she hadn't shared.
Yeah.
So she shared it after the biggest shooting. Yeah.
So particularly poignant in light of that, and as you will see in just a minute, an absolutely perfect fit with what I'm preaching about tonight, as only God could do. So we are grateful for that. Last week, if you were here on Wednesday, you might remember that JR revisited the story that was just sung by the band, the story of the tree in the garden, the tree of good and evil, and the invitations we receive daily, hourly, even sometimes by the minute, to choose good or to choose evil. And it's a choice that we get over and over again. And we have a choice, the choice to choose life, or to choose death in so many situations. I think death looks like being driven to fear. It looks like rivalry and judging and conflict and even killing. But we also have the choice toward life, and life we know looks like reflecting God's image to the world. It's creating, it's blessing. It's helping, serving, caring for one another, and it's enjoying life, and even enjoying each other. When we put it that way, it seems really easy and clear, doesn't it? Who wouldn't choose life? We've been on the receiving end of people who have chosen life. We've been cared for. We've experienced the beauty and creativity of creation. So why is it so hard sometimes? Why does it seem easier to choose death? So tonight what we're going to talk about is how to better live into the choice toward life, because at our core, at our best, when we're in places like this, feeling the power of life, it is compelling, but when we get out in the day-to-day, it can be a little bit harder. And our scripture passage tonight is what I like to call a doozy. From the book of James, most of James, I think, is kind of filled with doozies, these very cut and dry passages that really don't mince words at all and tell us boldly how to live. So this is James chapter 4, and in the mind of James, there's only one option of what we are to choose, and so we'll hear now how he lays that out. So this is James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. And what I love about this is from the Message, and the heading in the Message is Get Serious. So James writes, "Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and you're willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours, and you'll risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. You're cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God in his way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that he's a fiercely jealous lover, and what he gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find on your own. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing, humble. So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to anything else and watch the evil go away. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. the fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. Let us pray. God, these are hard words to read, and they're hard words to hear, mostly because they're true. And so we ask, God, that you would bring beautiful things out of the ashes as you are in the business of doing. Do it again in us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, like so many of you I know, I have been stunned by the events of the last few months in our world. One hurricane after another hitting different parts of our country. Mexico, you might have heard, on the anniversary of one of the biggest earthquakes they've ever had, had yet another massive earthquake where hundreds of people died. A shooter in Las Vegas methodically plotting and planning and executing what's now being called the worst mass shooting in American history. Our politics more divided than ever, pressing all of us into our own corners and leaving us looking for people just like us, people who believe what we believe and think the way we think. It's enough to make us hole up and lose faith. And in the face of all these disasters, it doesn't take long for someone to ask the question. The grand question that's asked over and over again throughout history. The question goes something like this. If we're made in the image of God, which we've talked for the last few weeks that we are made in the image of God, and if we have this God who created us, who loves us and who redeems us, where is he? We wonder what God is thinking. We wonder what God is doing, or maybe we wonder why it seems he's not doing anything. And we wait and we wait for the kingdom to come. And if it is coming, it's certainly not coming very quickly. When we browse back through the stories of history beginning in the Old Testament, we see similar stories to the stories we're hearing today, believe it or not. Stories of Cain and Abel, the first brothers fighting to the point of death. And then Cain's descendants continuing to perpetrate the same violence and adding and layering even more violence on top of that, including slavery and oppression. And it gets so bad that God starts again with the flood, saves Noah and his family. Of course, after a while, they start cooking up, I guess, more trouble after the flood subside. And as we continue through the stories we find in Scripture, we see humanity and God continuing to fight to be in relationship with each other, continuing to try to figure out how to do this right. Humans really wanting to love God, but always taking another crack at trying to be God. And God taking another crack at trying to show us what it really means to be made in his image and what it really means to live into that. As the Old Testament continues on, we see a picture of God emerge that shows God to be someone that consistently opposes the oppressors and consistently takes the side of the humble, the vulnerable, and the poor. As the events of history unfold in Scripture, we come to understand God as one who prefers nonviolence over violence, one who prefers equality over dominance, and one who chooses justice over injustice. And together, as we share these stories in places like this, we start to see that God does not uphold the status quo we see in the world, but repeatedly disrupts it, breaks it open so that something better can emerge and evolve. And that's just in the Old Testament. Then we come upon Jesus, and when Jesus comes, Jesus clarifies who God is even further for us. And Jesus clarifies who we are, telling us again we're made in God's image, and telling us too that we actually can be like God, not in power or persuasion, but in our ability to love as God loves. Jesus shows God's way of arranging things, trying to sink it deeper inside of us. He shows us that the last are first and the first are last. He shows that leaders actually serve and are humble. He shows in word and deed and in parable and miracle, Jesus again and again shows that God is at work to heal what is broken. On the personal level of each one of us in our individual lives, and on the corporate level of all the economics and governments of the world. And for whatever reason, God doesn't always stop the tragedy. Things seem to continue to break, but as our song just reminded us, God always shows up right there in the middle of it, in the flood, on the cross. And as we clean up and hold up the broken and the brokenhearted, it is so tempting in the midst of tragedy and brokenness to go it alone, to hunker down with our slice of money and power and influence to save ourselves. But God shows us to do that is to buy into the system of injustice that he's always working against. And to do that is to deny the way we've been made and what God has gifted us to do. Rather than being conformed to this world's way of doing and being and thinking, we can be transformed by a different and better story, by God's story and God's healing work in the world. So let me just give you one example of how I'm trying to do this. These things that keep happening over the last several months, they make me mad. They incite sarcasm in me, and I find myself being more and more critical of people who aren't doing it the way that I think they should. And then I get downright annoyed that things keep happening and nothing seems to be changing. And in fact, I find my first response is to do what I just said, to hunker down and to hole up and to stop hearing what I don't want to hear and to just focus on my own little world. But this is not what God asks me to do. Jesus has called me and you to be peacemakers, to give mercy, to call out what is beautiful in the world that God created. Jesus set the pattern for this. He showed us what it looks like to reflect God in the midst of oppression and brokenness and a flawed government. Jesus works to bring new life in seemingly small ways, not healing everyone, but healing who he comes in contact with, who he sees, freeing the oppressed and working even and most often through the flawed. So I have begun to try to do things to get out of that hole and to battle these frustrations and my grief and my feelings of helplessness and pain. The first thing I have done is I clean my house. Because somehow when I clean my house, it helps me think and process, and it helps me have just this tiny bit of control over something. I can see that it's done, and I can love my family. while I'm doing it, as long as I'm not being mean to them while I'm doing it, which sometimes I do, so I have to do it when they're not home. I also spend time with God. I love to use the phrase, I go back to God. And in days and months like these, I have to go back to God multiple times a day to get grounded again, to listen, to be in silence, to read scripture, and to pray. Because when I do that, I'm filled up with God stuff, and the world stuff dissipates and gets put in perspective. And then I try to do some things for other people. This week, I dropped some scripture cards off at a friend of mine's house who was just diagnosed with cancer. I visited a friend who is dying. I took my littlest daughter, Charlotte, and her Girl Scout troop to the Humane Society last night. And we learned about how people can care for animals, but we also learned how animals care for people, and that filled me up. And then I went for a walk with my other daughter, who said, well, where are we going? And I said, we're not going anywhere. We're just gonna look at the leaves. And she bought into that and walked with me. These are small things, I know. And these are things that will not stop the next hurricane, and they won't even stop the next mass shooter, most likely. But I think these little things matter because they show love. And they hopefully help me get outside myself to see God in others around me and to not forget what is most true. Jesus, as he does this work, also calls us to repentance. And this week I ran across a different definition for repentance than I've ever heard before. The definition was that repentance means to rethink everything. Rethink everything. I feel in these days like I'm in need of rethinking everything. In my own life and in the world around me, and inviting God into the midst of that to help me rethink everything. So my question for us tonight is, what do we need to rethink? What are the patterns of thinking and life that aren't building us up or anyone else up, but are instead breaking us down? In what ways are we living out that same old story of fear and death and destruction when the story of life is right here next to us and we could walk that path together? I invite us to think in fresh ways, not out of our own will, but by looking at and receiving God's will together, because that is what will bring new life. And as that song just said, turned out, God was right in the midst of all the brokenness, because that's where God lives, in our broken places, to bring hope and healing and new life. Please pray with me. God, you have invited us to a life that is to be filled with so much more than fear and frustration and brokenness. You invite us to heal and to be healed, and then to help heal others. So teach us, oh God, how to rethink things in our lives so that we can let go of what the world is trying to tell us and grab onto you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.